time of endless optimism has arrived. Free agency is in full swing in the NFL, and the Tennessee Titans, like every other team, is making moves. Moves that, at this point, people believe will make them better. A couple additions to the offensive line, a couple additions to the defense. At this point, a couple of farewells, as is also part of the landscape at this time of year. But this is what we have, and this is what we will discuss on this episode of Believe in Titans, brought to you by Bet Online. With, as always, former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you today?
I'm doing great this evening, David. How are you and John doing?
I'm good. And John Glennon, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Hope you guys are as well.
Doing great. And I am David Beauclair. And let me remind you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all sports betting, everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. That's betonline.ag, where the game starts. And let's go ahead and run this down real quickly. We are recording this Wednesday evening. None of these deals have been formally announced by the team, but they have been widely reported, and Titans sources have confirmed them to multiple reporters. So the Titans will be adding, early in free agency here, tackle Andre Dillard from the Philadelphia Eagles, guard, tackle, center, but most likely guard, Daniel Brunskill from the San Francisco 49ers, edge rusher Arden Key from the Jacksonville Jaguars, inside linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair from San Francisco, and linebacker, primarily special teams guy, Luke Gifford from the Dallas Cowboys. David Long Jr. is on his way to the Miami Dolphins. Right guard Nate Davis, and one of the great surprises of last season, DeMarcus Walker, headed to the Chicago Bears. That is that. What the team has announced is that they have tendered restricted free agents Tyre Tarte, the nose tackle, and an offensive lineman Aaron Brewer, each at the second round pick threshold. An exclusive rights free agent Naquan Jones, and interestingly, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, one of the more versatile and celebrated wide receivers for this team over the last couple of years, is exploring free agency. According to Paul Kuharsky, he turned down the team's attempt. The team didn't tender him where they could have retained his rights. They tried to negotiate a new deal with him straight up. He turned down those offers and is exploring other options right now. So for a team short on wide receivers as it is, the loss of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina could be something. But I mean, let's just start with the additions. Denard, who among Dillard, Brunskill, Key, Al-Shaair, do you like most? Or do you think will have the biggest impact in 2023?
Well, I will be biased and say Arden Key, but I'm not going to go that route. But I'm going to go with Andre Dillard from your hometown. Well, he at least played for your hometown team, David, the Philadelphia Eagles. And I've been a big fan of this young man since coming out of Washington State in 2019. He is a monster, 6'5", 315 pounds. I love the athleticism. I love his footwork. He's just the only knack on Andre is he's had to battle those injuries. He has had an injury bug since coming to the league in 2019. If you look at 2020, he entered camp going in as the starting left tackle, but unfortunately he suffered a torn bicep. And in 2021, he had to compete against Jordan Mulata, who's now taken over that position, has become one of the best tackles in the league. So if he can stay healthy, David and John, I think this would be a big addition to the Titans' offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, Dillard's a guy who was a first-round pick in 2019, I guess that's good news. But you say 9 starts in 43 games played over 4 years. You say, well, is it, you know, has he, is he not going to live up to expectations in any way, shape, or form, or is he just not had the opportunity? He's certainly going to get the opportunity with this offensive line, given all the openings there. So if he doesn't create a starting spot for himself here, then that's going to be on him, because he's certainly going to come in with that expectation. John, as you look at that bunch too, who stands out with you as somebody likely to make a big impact right out of the gate?
Well, I got to throw my 2 cents in on Dillard here first, and I agree with you guys in terms of what seems to be great potential, but they're paying this guy a lot of money. Now, the full details of the contract haven't been disclosed yet, but what the estimate of the total, what we're seeing so far, is 3 years for almost $30 million, you know, about almost $10 million a year for, as you mentioned, David, a guy who has started 43 games over 4 years, or excuse me, played 43 games in 4 years, only 9 starts during that time. He's never played more than 350 snaps in a season. Here's how many snaps he had last year on offense. 37. 37 snaps, yeah, on offense. And he's made $30 million out of that. So it seems to me to be a huge – now, again, all the details still, we haven't seen guaranteed money, et cetera, but if that report is true that he's making anywhere near $10 million, that seems to me to be a pretty significant – either overpayment or almost a guarantee that you're going to be a starting either left tackle or left guard. You know, most of his time has been spent at left tackle. So I would think that's where he gets his first chance, unless they draft a left tackle, you know, in the first round as well. So, you know, I agree that there seems to be a lot of untapped potential. But at the same time, he hasn't done much in 4 years. And part of that, you know, certainly was injury, as Denard mentioned. But
and that's
anyway,
what I was saying. This is the time of eternal optimism, though. You know,
yeah,
like fans on social media, like, this is a great move and yeah, whatnot. But there's, I mean, there is definitely no guarantee that this is going to work out. Yes, you can see why it will work out, but you can also see why it could be a disastrous move.
Yeah, absolutely, but. I'll move on. I'll give Dillard his chance. And I will say also that, you know, he was playing behind a lot of talented offensive linemen in Philly. Certain Mulata has came out of nowhere, really. He was an Australian rugby player who's become one of the best linemen in the NFL. And the coach, the offensive line coach in Philly, Jeff Stoutland, is really renowned, you know, great coach, has churned out some great players. So, again, that speaks well for Dillard's chances, but still a wait and see kind of thing. But, I really like Arden Key, among some of those other signees too. A guy who really has took off in his career in the last couple of years. One of them was with San Francisco, and certainly, we know that Rand Parthen got a good look at him there. Last couple of years, I want to say, in 2021, best year, he had 6.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 17 quarterback hits, that year. And, I think 90 Pro Football Focus had him for 90 total quarterback pressures over the last 2 seasons, which is a pretty amazing number. 6'5", 240, you know, can sort of play. It sounds as if, you know, similar role as a Danico Autry type guy who can, you know, play a little bit on the edge, can also move inside as well. So versatility, which leads me to one kind of interesting question. I was asked this actually on the radio this morning, and it kind of took me by surprise, but then I got to thinking more about it. Is there any chance, do we see Arden Key as being supplanting Denico Autry to the point that, could they even think about moving on from Autry? I mean, it's a lot of money now that they have tied up in guys up front. When you talk about Key, who's reportedly going to be making, $7 million a year. You just brought back Tart for $4 million. Of course, with Simmons is going to be minimum $10 million. Denico Autry is making a lot of money too. And you could save $7 million if you moved on from Denico Autry. Now, that sounds crazy. Probably won't happen. But, it did make me think just a little bit anyway in terms of what might be happening there.
To me, it feels like, Arden Key comes in to replace Bud Dupree, and at a price tag that is sort of commensurate with the level at which Dupree was producing the last couple of years, right? I mean, like Dupree certainly, he was not terrible by any stretch of the imagination when he was in there, but he didn't put up the kind of numbers that that anyone was expecting from a guy with an $82.5 million contract. This to me almost feels like, okay, we're looking for that same type of production, but at a reasonable rate. And $7 million a year is a little less than half of what they would have been paying Bud Dupree. And Key has been a guy who is largely a pass rush specialist in his career, has only played more than 45% of his team's snaps on defense once. But to your point, John, the 90 quarterback pressures in the last couple of years, you can see why he would be appealing to the Titans. Mike Vrabel, that has become a semi-constant refrain for Mike Vrabel, that when he's talking to the media, that you guys are way too focused on sacks. It's just about affecting the quarterback and getting the quarterback off his spot or impacting his timing and whatnot. And if Key's a guy who can do that, and you can see a rotation now too, with Harold Landry coming back playing 97% of the snaps as he typically does on that side, Rashad Weaver being a rundown back with Key coming in passing situations, and then maybe all three of them in certain personnel packages, you can see that sort of thing developing. I think that's easy to envision. Denard, I want to ask you. You mentioned him. You said you really like Arden Key. This will be his fourth different team in 4 years. He's gone from the Raiders to the 49ers to the Jaguars and now the Titans. What do you like about him, and why do you think he keeps bouncing around though, if he's a good productive player like that?
Well, you got to look at it. In 2018, many of the scouts projected him as the number one overall pick going into 2018 draft. And he was kind of like 1A, 1B behind Tremaine Edmonds, who was with Buffalo and just signed that massive $72 million deal with the Bears. But what Arden, when he came out of LSU, the greatest university known to man, you got to understand this. Hey, it was this
No
off,
bias.
yeah,
No
I know,
bias.
I had to throw that in there, but it was this off the field issues that dropped him all the way down to the third round. He had a lot of issues off the field, and then when he went to Oak, he was got drafted by Oakland, and he had a foot injury that kind of derailed the season. So if you look at it, well, I know they're now Las Vegas, but they're Oakland Raiders then. But I mean, he's an electrical player. I mean, look at the way that he played last year against Tennessee. He had a great game, and you talked about, and I'm always saying this, they look at the sacks, and if you look at the sacks that he had for Jacksonville, 4.5 sacks, you said, man, that's not a lot. Well, think about the quarterback pressures. We always talk about stats that time can be misleading. And just look at the games that he played in last year. How many times did you see the quarterback when you're going against that Jags defense? They're running for the lives. And you're talking about the game that he had against Tennessee in the last game of the season down in Jacksonville. He was a difference maker. I think he's a high motor guy, high intensity. He's great off the edge. He's long. I mean, look at the game in 2021. I broke him down a little bit against Philly. And I mean, he absolutely had Jalen Hurts running for his life. I mean, he is an exciting player. He's only 26 years old. I mean, so again, I mean, you get him at a great 3-year, $21 million deal. And look at 26. I mean, what is Bud Dupree? He's going, is 30? going into this next year. So you got to think about it. This can be a win-win for Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think we should point out, too, because I know we talked about this. We suspected this coming into free agency. If you look back to 2016, when John Robinson came to the Titans, he leaned very heavily early on his Patriots connections, where he had been for the vast majority of his career. Mike Vrabel comes on in 2018, and since that time, Titans have leaned very heavily on his Houston Texans connections, both in the coaching staff and with player acquisitions, based on his 4 years on that staff there. And now, not surprisingly, Rand Carthen, after a good run with the 49ers, three of these guys we're talking about in Arden Key, Brunskill, and Al Shaair, all of these guys have 49ers connections, I would imagine we're gonna see more of these things play out as the season goes on. And to your point, Denard, Al Shaair is 25 years old. Arden Key is 26. Dillard is 27. Brunskill is the old man of the group at 29. You do feel like there is an emphasis right now on, let's get guys who still have a lot of football ahead of them and not behind them. And while we're talking about Al Shaair, this is a guy who's going to have another great opportunity when you talk about Zach Cunningham having been released, David Long signing with the Miami Dolphins, which we need to get to that a little bit later too, at a really reasonable rate. There is opportunity on the inside for a guy who has been a starter in this league, but not a starter all the time. In 2021, he played 89% of the defensive snaps for the 49ers, played fewer than half that percentage this past season. But certainly with Monty Rice, last year's draft pick, Chase, what's the kid out of Ole Miss? There's not a lot, not a ton of experience there. This is a guy who's going to be coming in to play a big role, much like Dillard. I think they're saying now is your time. Go do this. John, have you looked at Al Shaair? What have you seen from him?
Yeah, I think there's some good potential there too. Big guy, 6'2", 228, played. I think he is another guy. We talked about Dillard, maybe playing behind some good players. And I think that's definitely the case for Al Shaair as well. Playing behind Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw in San
Francisco.
No shame.
Yeah, no shame there.
No, not at all. Two of the best in the game. And when you look at some of the grades, some of the PFF grades, last year comparing Al Shaair to David Long, look overall in linebackers, David Long finished 27th, Al Shaair 33rd. Their overall offensive grade, 76.2 for Long, 74.4 for Al Shaair. And you look at both against the run and in pass coverage, numbers pretty similar as well. So I think you're not going to have some huge drop off, I don't think, in this situation. There were some injury concerns, that has certainly become a talking point for the Titans, and it certainly played a role in David Long leaving. I don't think we can ignore the fact that Al Shaair has missed 9 games over the last 2 years as well. Missed 5 last year with an MCL, but he was playing week 9 and into the playoffs, and 4 games the previous season. So it's not like he's got a complete clean sheet, but I think he's going to be a good one. I don't think the Titans are going to suffer a too big a drop off there, despite the absence and the departure of Long and Cunningham.
Denard, as you look at these signings too, I mean, like, three years, $29 million for Dillard is not chump change. 3 years, $7 million for Key, good money as well. But, I mean, there's no $15, $18 million a year deals here like we've seen. Is it your sense as you see this playing out, is Rand Carthen going to be a little more careful than John Robinson with those kinds of things, or do you think that's simply a product of where they are in salary cap issues right now? How do you interpret that? Granted, just a couple days into this.
Yeah, it probably the way the salary cap is right now. I know that when you're shopping for a big deal as a free agent, sometimes if that team doesn't have that money, and that's where you can get paid. I mean, the 3-year, $21 million deal, sometimes you got to take it. And when you look at one of the things I do love about Rand Carthen and what he has done is he's went out and he's gotten younger. When you think about Azeez Al-Shaair, he's only 25 years old. So when you're talking about a 3-year deal, I love what you just alluded to earlier, you and John, about you still got so much value in the player in the long run. And that's the key. I mean, why would you want to go out in free agency and sign a player to a, let's say, a 7-year deal worth $80 or $90 million, and then he's hurt a year later and you don't get that kind of production? Or you can go out, spend less, get more production that in the long run would end up helping your team. And that's what they've done this year. I love the fact that they went out, they've gotten younger, and that's the way that a lot of teams are winning in this league. It's a young man's game, and that's what Tennessee has done. I mean, a great job by Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel in putting together some free agents that these are players that we can see in Nashville if they're productive for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, exactly. Dillard at 27 years old, if he's replaces Taylor Lewan, you've gotten younger there. Arden Key, if he's replacing Bud Dupree, you're getting younger there. Those are one area you wouldn't be is Brunskill, who's 29, still not an old man, certainly by offensive line standards. We've seen those guys, if they stay healthy, can go for a long time. John, my question to you about Brunskill is, I see some people touting the fact that he's so versatile that he, at points during his NFL career, he's played all 5 positions on the offensive line. Now, he was San Francisco's starter at right guard throughout the 2021 season, but hasn't been a full-time starter throughout his career. What's the concern level that, okay, yeah, this guy is good enough to play every position, but does he have a real position that you can count on him at?
Yeah, I mean, we know how much they value versatility, especially in the offensive line. And you're right, he has played at all 5 offensive positions. Last year, he was over at 100 snaps at left guard. He was over 400 at right guard. I think he winds up certainly, right guard is where he has played the vast majority of his snaps over the years, even though he's been all over the place. The fact that he started only 2 of the 14 games, last year has some people concerned. I can understand that. One thing, too, San Francisco was a better team than the Titans. So they're a deeper team than the Titans. So I think it's not shocking that maybe they have more talent below their starters than the Titans did. On their team, we also, again, as you guys have both referenced, if anyone is familiar with his skills, Rand Carthen is familiar with Daniel Brunskill's skills. So seemingly if he thinks he's, good enough to be a potential starter, I think that's a good step in the right direction. And then let's go to some of the old PFF numbers here as well. You look at last year in terms of pass blocking, which was Nate Davis always struggled a little bit more in terms of pass blocking than the run. Nate Davis had 385 pass blocking snaps last year, gave up 3 sacks, a hit, 10 hurries, and took 4 penalties. Brunskill, 337 snaps pass blocking, so they're not that big a difference there. 0 sacks allowed, 1 hit, 13 hurries, and 0 penalties. So pretty good, I think step in the right direction in terms of pass blocking, and maybe we're seeing more of an emphasis put on that now. With the Titans than previously, where they had been so concerned with their offensive linemen being very strong in the run. And okay, if they're not the greatest pass protectors, that's okay. Maybe that's starting to change now.
Yeah, and we should point out that, Yes, he only started two games for the 49ers last year, but he ended up playing 58% of their offensive snaps. I mean, I don't know, you know, how the 49ers employed their offensive line specifically, but clearly he was a regular rotational piece in there, you know, saw a lot of playing time last year. So, Donato, I want to ask you this, you know, there'll be four new starters on the offensive line. Let's presume Nicholas Petitfrere stays at right tackle. How important will it be for the Titans to identify those other four guys early and give them as much opportunity to work together throughout the offseason? Or do you expect that it would be more of a search process, you know, maybe even into the first couple weeks of training camp to find those guys?
Interesting. I think it'd be a little bit of both, because in this league, we know that you need continuity to build chemistry. And if you're going to try to put four new starters in there, along with who you're going to have, Nicholas Petitfrere would be your only returning starters, then what you need to do is to make sure these players, that they know each other quite well. I'm excited. I mean, because it's a brand new year, but it's also a brand new unit. You got an aging quarterback who'll be 35, the start of training camp. You got a, let's just be honest with you, Derrick Henry will be 29. He's entering kind of that, you know, that stage where a lot of times critics start to talk about the age, you know, that 30 years old mark. So I would like to see these players early get together in training camp. I like to see the offensive line coach make sure that he, whatever, you know what? I would like to see them do kind of what they did last year. I mean, wasn't they kind of mixing and matching players here and there in training camp to see how they meshed together?
It was about the second week in training camp that they finally went to Petitfrere and right, you know, said, that's it. Now we're going with this bunch.
So why don't you do that this year until you figure out who your starting five is? I know when we played, that's exactly what they used to do. They would plug as many guys as they possibly could to see who's the best fit for what we're trying to do. So yeah, I think you plug in as many players as you can until you figure out who's your starting five going into week one.
John, we mentioned, you know, Aaron Brewer, one of the guys getting the restricted free agent tender. Are we assuming that he is the replacement for Ben Jones at center now? Do we think he's a better fit at center than he was at left guard last season?
Yes and yes, in my opinion. I think, you know, the fact that they're tendering him, and he'll be making over $4 million a year next year. You know, generally speaking, that's not the kind of money you're paying a guy to be a reserve. Not unthinkable, but you know, probably unlikely. And I think, you know, the center position suits Aaron Brewer's skills better than left guard did. You know, we all know he's not the biggest guy in the world. He sometimes got overpowered there on the inside, on the interior at the guard spot. But, you know, center is a position, I think, where you can oftentimes, you know, it's more about leverage, angles, you know, kind of athleticism, moving, that kind of thing, oftentimes helping out, you know, double teams, that sort of deal. I think that's a really good spot for Aaron Brewer, because he is so athletic. You know, he moves well. He knows leverage. His footwork is outstanding. So I think that's a good fit, you know, assuming there's no issues, you know, with snaps, which is, you know, obviously a question mark that has to be answered if a guy's going in there at center. I think that's a fit. I think that's a spot that you can cover Aaron Brewer at center.
Yeah, we say Nicholas Petitfrere at right tackle. I mean, we're assuming Brewer is moving off left guard, which makes him a different starter, I guess, even though he will be a returning starter to that unit. And the issue of left guard at this point is still unresolved. Denard, for guys like Brewer and Tyre Tart, who came in as undrafted free agents, you know, you're having to prove yourself every year. You know, now these are not long-term deals. These tenders are one-year deals, but they're good money, significantly more money than these guys have made to this point in their career. How how much, you know, like what, how dangerous is a time is this for these guys in terms of complacency? If you were a veteran in that room, would you seek these guys out and just kind of give them a gentle reminder that, hey, yes, you're getting paid, but you have to, you know, you have to keep proving yourself here.
That's the way it works, David. Complacency is a sin in the National Football League. You get stagnant, you're out of the door. I mean, let's just look at some of their top players. David Long Jr. was an undrafted free agent. He got a nice deal going to Miami. You know,
he was a sixth round pick.
Yeah. I wanted to say, yeah. Thank you for correcting me.
We'll get to him in a minute. Keep going.
Yeah, but I mean, you talk about players like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, which I'm pretty sure we're going to talk a little bit about later. And you're talking about his time being an undrafted free agent in 2020. And then look at the numbers that he's put up over the last few years. He's played in what, over 777 offensive snap. Over 70% of the Titans' offensive snap since coming into the league, an undrafted free agent. No player, I don't care, David, if you're getting paid making $10 million a year, complacency leads you out of the door. So no player, they're not motivated by the money. You know, you're motivated by going out there in that field and making sure you can be productive. If you're not productive in this league, you're out of the door.
And, you know, we've mentioned David Long a couple times now, a guy who was very productive when he was on the field. We should note that sixth round pick the Titans used to get him was actually acquired as part of the Ryan Tannehill deal, made the Ryan Tannehill trade in 2019 that much better. And now Miami actually gets him and I guess can, you know, a chance to save face a little bit from that deal. But, John, you know, Mike Vrabel is always very complimentary about David Long's attitude and the violent nature with which he played the game. But for him to go to the Dolphins on what is reported as a 2-year, $11 million deal, can we interpret that any way other than the Titans just weren't interested in having him back? Because that is certainly an affordable deal, yes?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think they – certainly could have matched that, you know, easily. That that was not anywhere near, you know, what some of the inside linebackers were making out of the gate in free agency. You know, there were some whoppers that were handed out, and David Long was not among them. He was more like, I think, Leighton Vander Esch from Dallas had a similar contract to what David Long ended up with. But you know, this was David Long was. You know, categorized by all the kind of the gurus and experts who do this nationally as one of the top inside linebackers and really one of the better free agents available out there. So I was kind of shocked to see that value. And you know, I understand, I guess, what the Titans are saying is we're done with you. You know, too many games, what is it, 12 games over the last 2 years, all really because of the hamstring. You know, we can't trust you, you know, but. And Mike Vrabel kind of made it clear at the end of the season that he put a lot of that blame he felt on those players, you know, that really it was their fault that they weren't taking things seriously enough, maybe during the off season or even during the season when they're away from the facility. And I don't know. I just don't know if that's the case. David Long certainly doesn't strike me as a kind of a slacker, you know, a kind of guy that, you know, would say that I'm done with football here in the off season. So to me, you know, I mean, I hope the Titans are, you know, studying themselves and the, you know, the practices they run, the conditioning they do, as much as they, you know, have critiqued players here, you know, for not potentially staying in a peak of shape during the offseason. I hope they're turning that, you know, same kind of magnifying glass on themselves.
And finally, as we have the last couple minutes here, Denard, you mentioned Nick Westbrook-Ikhine a few minutes ago. Titans, you know, need wide receivers. There's no question about that. Robert Woods is gone. He's on his way to Houston. It's not a great wide receiver market as it is. You know, Jacoby Myers, widely reported sort of as the number one guy. He's headed to the Raiders. Juju Smith-Schuster, a guy I know you talked about, is headed to New England. given that there's not a bunch of big names out there, if Nick Westbrook-Ikhina finds a deal he likes with another team, how big a hit is that to a position group that's already in need for the Titans?
Well, if the season started next week, David, would you be comfortable with Treylon Burks, Racy McMath, and Kyle Phillips as your starting three receivers?
Probably not. Probably not.
I don't think I'm going to watch that game. I'm going to watch it. You're talking about Treylon coming into his second year. The veteran in this amongst these three would be Racy, who is in his third year, and Kyle Phillips is in his second year. So they're going to need some help at receiver now. There's some great free agents out there, David. You're talking about Alan Lazard out in Green Bay. He's still out there. I would love to see a big body receiver get in at 6'5", 227. But if they don't sign somebody in free agency, I mean, it's not looking very pretty. So why wouldn't you bring a guy, of a player of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina caliber? I mean, I just alluded to the fact he's played in 777 offensive snaps, which is over 70% of the Titans' offensive snap. You look at some of the games last year, the Broncos game, what he hit the Broncos for 119 and two touchdowns. He was the difference maker. Go back to the game against Washington, the Commanders, that 21-17 victory the Titans were able to ink out in Washington. He had that big 61-yarder that was the difference maker. And last and not least, they didn't tender Cody Hollister, so he's gone. So who do you got at receiver?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. Who should they be looking at receiver right now?
Yeah, you know, there are some names out there. It is not a great market free agency for wide receiver, but there are guys out there. You know, I think Lazard, certainly the rumors seem to be, that he is headed to the Jets, assuming Aaron Rodgers, this deal ever gets completed. I agree that he might have been a good one to look at, but there's some speed guys out there too, you know, in terms of like a Mecole Hardman, or Paris Campbell, those type guys. But I continue to look at DJ Chark, and I know there have been injury concerns. He hasn't played a lot the last 2 years, but he was healthy about the last half of last season, and he was productive. He's a big guy. He has speed as well, a downfield threat. I might be willing, if I'm the Titans and I'm in their predicament and don't have a whole lot of options right now, I might take a chance on a DJ Chark, and I'm certainly looking at the draft, you know, probably first or second pick as a wide receiver as well.
Well, as we said, this is this is the start of the off season. It is now the 2023 NFL season officially, but these are the early days. There is much more to come, and we will look at it as it develops here over the next several days and weeks. Until then, we will call this the end of this episode of Believe in Titans podcast. So, Denard, thank you as always.
Thank you.
John, thank you, my friend.
All right, enjoy it, guys.
And until next week, we will talk to you then. This is the Believe in Titans podcast, brought to you by Bet Online.